Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hello, my name is George Takei. Before we get started, we would like to remind everyone that this show is for entertainment purposes only. Three quarters of this crap is total BS anyway. The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and should not be associated in any way with our guests and sponsors. If you are easily offended, we recommend you press stop right now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm. And who doesn't enjoy a good auditory orgasm? Oh my. Welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio down, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
I don't know why he would title his podcast that.
Follow that, bitch.
This song's called Hard Hard Life, and it's not released yet, but hopefully soon it will be. Probably on the next recording.
We get off the word about a quarter past five. It's gonna be a good, good line. Your pockets are full, you won't go hungry tonight. It's gonna be a good, good line. Your baby's crying loud while the sun is rising high. It's gonna be a hard, hard life. The water in your well is all running dry. It's gonna be a hard, hard life. Now maybe you think you're overworked. Want some evil change from day to day. Maybe you think you're overworked. Bottom dollar's all you got left to survive. It's gonna be a hard, hard life.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 101 of IBWIP, and we have another in-the-studio performance interview with Brett Conlon. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How do you like our schwank facilities?
I've been to worse places in my life.
Not many, but worse. The first song we heard him play was Hard Hard Life. So where were you born and raised?
I was born in a town called Kewaunee, Illinois. It's the hog capital of the world. If you've never been, we were mentioned on Law & Order once.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that where the famous furniture store is as well?
Goods Furniture, yes. Where no one can afford to buy anything in Kewaunee because everybody's fucking broke.
Right. Were you raised by a two-parent home or a one-parent home?
My parents were split up probably when I was about five. So I lived with my mom until I got into about like junior high. And then I just turned into a horrible asshole. So she sent me to live with my dad, and my dad just kind of like was way more laid back and was like, oh, just let him do his thing. You know? Right. So then I ended up getting into more trouble that way. Like, cause he was kind of like got frustrated and was like, whatever, you're going to screw up. Go learn your lessons the hard way.
Right.
You know? So
the hard lessons of life. So when did you get into start playing music?
I started playing music when I was about probably like 16. A friend of mine had a band, some kind of punk band going, and he was like, we really need somebody to play bass. And I was like, oh, I don't know anything about playing anything, but I was like, I'll do it. So I went and bought a bass from this dude, like in his backyard, you know, and I was like, all right, let's do this. And I remember I came home with the bass and like my grandma was there. She's like, what the hell are you doing with that? You know how to play that thing? And I was like, oh, I'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
So we started doing that. And then from there, I got into like, played bass in a lot of punk bands for a few years. And then I had my own band for a while where I was playing electric guitar. And that's when I really started like actually writing songs and doing that kind of thing.
So what do you think is your strongest point, songwriting or guitar or...
I think definitely my strong point is probably the songwriting. I'm not a phenomenal guitar player. I can do some little tricks, you know, but I'm not going to go up there and melt anybody's face. Or
Jimi Hendrix style.
No, definitely. I'm not even like, me and a buddy were jamming yesterday and just sitting around just doing little things. I mean, he was doing some cool solos and then he'd look at me and I'm like, no, you just keep playing. I don't do that stuff.
Like, I'll just sit by this one out. So, Hard Life, how did that song come about?
I started writing that song, and it was like, I just started thinking about people that I kind of grew up around, and like, in Kewaunee, where I grew up, it's kind of just like, it's not a super small town. I think there's like probably 10,000 people there, but everybody just kind of has that small town attitude where everybody knows each other and everybody hangs out, and so like, I started writing songs that I wanted to like relate to people that were going to be at my shows and stuff like that, so I kind of wrote that just kind of like a working man song. And
cool. You have become a father in the past year.
I have.
You know, being a father now, how has that kind of changed your songwriting or your life as a musician in general?
It's anybody who tells you that they, you know, everybody always says, oh, when you have a kid, everything's going to change. And, you know, I think a lot of people try to deny that and they try to keep living their life, but I mean, a lot of my songwriting has definitely changed. A lot of it hasn't. I'm still writing songs about
trains,
death, no, and trains and dirty women and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm also writing songs, you know, like I've got a couple songs right now that I kind of wrote with my son in mind. I wrote a song called Home on Time, and it's about just constantly being on driving somewhere, and then you're like, man, I gotta hurry and get home, and then I get home and it's 3 a.m and I'm like, well, what the fuck did I hurry home
right.
for? And I'm like more conscious of, all right, I need to not stay out at this show and go to after parties till 4 a.m. And then, cause having a kid scream when you're hungover is probably one of the worst things I could ever experience
right.
in my life.
But it does add an additional inspiration, I guess.
Definitely. Definitely. I think about like, you know, like when my kid gets older, I want him to look at what I'm doing and see that I'm doing something like I'm not just out there being a musician so I can party and live that lifestyle, you know, kind of get a free ride out of people. I want him to look at it and say, wow, he's doing something that really makes him happy and something that I can leave behind for him to be proud of too. So,
well, I did some investigating prior to the interview and I have a couple of questions that were submitted by a mysterious person.
All right.
And one of them was, can you talk to us about the song Hot Shart on a Cool Curve?
All right, so me and one of my very good friends, like that I grew up with, went to high school with, we started doing this thing like on Friday nights. He would come over to our house, and we were like, let's just write hilarious songs, you know, like no pressure, and we'll just record them. And so one day I was driving to work, and like I had been really sick all week and stuff, and I had made this awesome decision to eat Taco Bell on the way to work, and I was driving, and like I was just like, man, I gotta fart really bad, and I just totally fucking shit my pants going around the exit on the interstate. And I was like halfway at the time driving like 45 minutes to get to work, so I was like, what am I gonna do? I'm like halfway to work,
right?
I can't go home, I still gotta go to work. So I like stopped, I went into Walmart and just like bought a new pair of shorts with shit still like in my pants. Like changed my shorts, went to work, and then came back and told everyone the story. So he wrote this song, he wrote all the lyrics to it, and it's called Hot Shard on a Cool Curve. And it's hilarious. If I can dig it up, I'll send it to you.
That would be a bootleg we would love to have.
Some of the other hits from that series of songs, we wrote a song about Shaq, and the basketball player Shaq. Yeah.
That's a weird inspirational.
We would literally just sit around like, man, like, what should we write a song about? And we just like pick like a random topic, and then we just write these hilarious songs. And then, you know, usually like I don't even think we even posted them online or anything. We just
just for the fun of it, yeah, like pastime,
yeah.
And you know, don't be embarrassed. I've told my shit stories on the show, so
that's not the only time I shit.
Right. One time I was trying to help you, but no, yeah.
The if you want to hear the other story, sure. The same guy actually. Me and him were out drinking one day, and at this point in my life, I was, like, drinking very heavily. And we were, we had been probably drinking all day. And we went to, like, this huge Chinese buffet, ate there. And then we went back to the bar after that, but it was, like, one of those bars where you don't want to poop there.
Right.
You're like, man, I don't, you know, the bathroom's, like, right next to where everybody's sitting, you know.
Right.
So I'm like, I'll just wait. And then I got drunk and totally forgot about that. And then I'm just, like, driving home, and I was like, dude, I got to stop. I got to shit. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, I stopped the car and I got out. He's like, you can't just shit here, man. He's like, he's a really weird person. Like he doesn't want to like break any rules or anything.
Right.
So he's like, you can't just shit in the street. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to keep driving. And then I was like, I just started cracking up. I was just like, I was like, dude, do you smell that? And he like instantly threw his head out the window, was like gagging out the window.
Oh, that's a good one.
So yeah.
Were you driving?
I was driving.
Oh.
I just drove home.
You drove and shit.
Yeah. And he had to go in and tell my wife, like, hey, I need a pair of your husband's pants. And I probably proceeded to take, like, the hottest shower I've ever taken in my life. Like, because it was, like, of all the shit to have in your pants, it was, like, the worst one ever.
Chinese buffet shit. Yeah. This interview has completely gotten out of control, but it's very IBWIP-esque, so.
Definitely.
Back to the music, I guess. Can you tell us a story about your opportunity to open for Train?
Oh, boy. There was word around where I live that, like, oh, they're like some... So, I don't know, somebody through the grapevine, somebody said that, oh, Train's coming to Princeton, you know, which is where I live now. And there was a guy that was going around, and he was, like, setting up, like, auditions or something, you know. He actually came to one of my shows one night when I was in Princeton, and I gave him a CD, gave him all kinds of stuff, and I was like, yeah, I would love to do it. I don't really want to open for Train, but I would
right like for the exposure.
I never heard anything back, and then next thing I know, I like see the flyer and everything. I'm like, he totally just like cock blocked me on that. Like, and then I heard that they were holding like open mic auditions at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon or something like that, and I'm just like,
wow,
this is just ridiculous.
That's a little out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely lost some sleep over it, but I'm over it now.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches.
Yeah.
So, you do have a number of tattoos. What was the first tattoo you ever got?
The first tattoo I ever got, I was 16, and I got this tattoo. It's Jesus on a pogo stick.
Oh, that's, I didn't notice that.
Most people don't, and then they would see it and they're like, hey.
Why do you have,
what is that?
Why do you have Jesus on a pogo stick?
Basically, I was just hanging out. One of my friend's older brothers is a tattoo artist up in Chicago. At the time, I think he was in like around the Ottawa area. And I was like, yeah, I want to get a tattoo. And we're like, what would I get? Like, I just want to get something totally fucking ridiculous and hilarious. So we were talking about that, and we were just bouncing ideas. And then we thought of that. And he's like, oh, dude, you should. I'll draw it up.
Nice.
So then I got it.
Jesus on a pogo stick. Hey. Yeah. And Jesus probably did spend some time on a pogo stick.
I mean, you know,
as an adolescent, he probably, that was fun for him.
Everybody thinks he's like a petty asshole, but I think he likes to have fun.
Jesus likes a good time. I'm sure of it. So, how did you kind of get into country music and roots music after, you know, starting off in the punk world?
I had always been into like the, you know, those couple huge country artists like Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, but I never got too much deeper into it because everybody else I was hanging out with was like listening to Black Flag and the Germs and bands like that, you know. So I was just like, I was immersed in that world. But I actually started hanging out with my grandpa a lot more, and through him, you know, we started talking about people like Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard and stuff like that. And from there, I was like, man, this stuff is actually pretty cool. And then a friend from back home kind of found out that I was listening to some of that stuff. And he's like, you know, there are like newer artists that are doing that same kind of throwback sound. And he burned me a Wayne Hancock CD and a Justin Townes Earl CD. And like, I fell in love with that stuff. Like, I think he burned me Midnight at the Movies. And I still listen to that like all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite albums ever. Yeah. So, yeah, from there, it's just like, now I'm still like, you know, I come in and I'm like hang out with you guys, and you guys are talking about some of these people, and I'm like, I don't know, I've never heard of him.
Right.
But, you know?
Right. That's cool, though. I find it interesting that, you know, a lot of guys that played punk early on in their musical career kind of convert to this, you know, middle of the road kind of roots.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting that such a punk influence combining with, you know, the original country. And so it's pretty cool.
I think a lot of those people, I mean, they keep the same energy level in the, they start playing outlaw country or bluegrass or whatever. And like that fast, hard energy is still there. But they're like, for me, I guess it was like, I'm not 16 and pissed off anymore. Like, I don't hate the government. I don't blame society for everything. I just want to drink beer and hang out with my friends and get a paycheck every week. So,
So, you know, how do you measure success as an artist?
I think success,
besides being on IBWIP.
Well, I mean, this is probably like the highlight of my career at this point. Success to me, like even in anything, is just you. If you can go home at the end of the day and be happy with what you're doing, whether it's going and playing a show for five people or, you know, being a super rock star and playing to a stadium full of people. I mean, I don't want to do that, but to me, it's just like, if I can go home and know that I put 100% into what I did and I'm satisfied with the result, like that's success to me. It doesn't, it's not monetary. It's not, you know, it's not having a million fucking likes on Facebook or anything like that. It's like connecting with people.
Sure. So what do you, what is your day job?
I work for a warehouse for a hardware company and I just do inventory there. I kind of just, I like basically just count stuff all day long. I mean, we have
inventory
like,
management.
Not management.
No, you have to say inventory management.
Oh, does that make it sound like more professional?
You're managing the inventory.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you out. Worst gig you ever had?
Worst gig ever. Oh, man. There's been a few that were pretty bad. One of the first times I started playing just by myself, you know, I didn't even like really have that many original songs. I was just going out and getting a feel for it. And I was just like booking myself anywhere I could, and I got booked with some like really cheesy cover band. They're like down in Peoria, some fucking dive bar, you know, like in the ghetto.
Right.
And I'm walking up and I'm just like, oh, this is like, what am I doing? So I went there and played like two songs. I think in the second song I broke a string, and like I didn't have any extras or anything, so I left. I walked off the stage and literally just left. Like, I was just so pissed.
Right.
Like, this show was, like, going nowhere anyway. So, like, and the band was just, like, totally, they're just kind of full of themselves, and they were, like, just ignoring everyone anyway. So I was just like, you know what, this is not my scene. I'm just leaving. So that's probably, like, the worst.
You know, when you said you were in a lot of bands before, and what did you find most difficult when you started doing shows by yourself?
It's difficult not to have anybody else to rely on the stage. I mean, if you fuck up and chunk a chord or something, it's all on you.
Right.
You know, before you can kind of mask it with the other two dudes, they can, or if, you know, something does happen, your equipment goes wrong, they can keep it going, you know, and just having that whole sound helps, you know. I mean, when I started playing, it was just me and a guitar, and now I've got me and I've got like a stomp box and some other percussion stuff that I'm doing, and I've got another girl that's been playing stand-up bass with me lately, so like that's just adding that stuff in is phenomenal.
Right. Awesome. So where do folks go to find out about where you're playing and to get a hold of your music?
They can go to, I don't have like an actual website. I don't know.
We'll have to get you one.
Yeah.
I know a guy.
I don't know what you have to do. I don't know about all this technology. Right. But I post most shows. Like, the best way is probably just to like add me on Facebook. I always like tell people, like, yeah, if you want to keep up, just add me. Like, I'm not going to deny your request or anything. You know, I'm not an asshole like that. But I know on Reverb Nation, I have a page on there, and I always update the shows on there because you can go there. You can stream the music right on top, and it has the show schedule right below. So that'd probably be the best place to look at that stuff.
And we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well to where everybody can go to. But about your music, though, I mean, how can folks get a hold of a disc or download?
Oh, a disc? If they come to a show, if you want a disc, if you really, really want a hard copy, email me, get on the website. It's got all the contact info on there. I'll mail you one if you want. Other than that, I know I've got the first demos that I did up on Bandcamp right now. It's like brettconlin.bandcamp.com. You can download that stuff for free. And I'm going to put the CD that's out now, The Last Outlaw Songs, I'm going to put that up for a free download too. So
awesome. Well, buddy, I appreciate your friendship, and I really dig your music, and thanks for hanging out and being on our show.
I had a great time.
I want to play one more song?
Yeah.
What song am I going to play?
Oh, okay. I'll do Pine Box.
Oh, okay. That was so smooth. All right, folks. Brett Conlin.
Hello. I'm Christopher Walken. IBWIP is an interactive show. That means get off your asses and get a hold of us, baby. You can call into the show live or leave us a voicemail. The number is 1-203-429-4711. It's free, so dial it up now, I implore you. You can also email us with questions or comments at blake@ibwip.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to your Pia Vision YouTube page. Well, all the links are on the front page of ibwip.com.
All right, let's rock and roll. Rock over London, rock on Chicago. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. This song is called Pine Box, and it's off of The Last Outlaw Songs, which is out now. It's a 4-song EP.
That you can run for days through sleeping cities on highways. The judge and jury spoke down. The judge and jury spoke down. Now a hole in a pine box waits him down. It's all bad luck, you say. It's all bad luck, you say. I'd call it bad timing for a dying day. I'm gonna hang you when noon comes round. 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 I guess guilty of the crime and I confess. They're gonna let me hang when noon comes round. Gallows full waiting for my name. Speak my last words, say my last breath. I'm gonna be hanging when noon comes round. Oh Lord, please forgive. I am desperately seeking mercy.
Let my soul rise with the wind. Oh, the hangman's come, gonna bring me to my end. Thanks, PK. Woo! Anybody out there from Kiwani? Okay.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.